We don't just really want to get up here. But I do feel very much impressed to speak, and I'll tell you what my burden is. How are you going to get out of this camp meeting? What do you need to do to get the good out of this camp meeting? Mark 4, we have the parable of the sower and the seed, and we want to dwell a little bit on that, but first I want to notice what our Lord said in the 24th verse of Mark 4. Now I would like for you to draw in your minds, Lord help us. It says here, He said unto them, first, before that, after the parable, He brought out about the candle being put not under a bushel or under a bed, but on a candlestick. And there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, and neither shall anything be kept secret, but that it should be come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Lord help us. It says here, and He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, I would like to impress upon us the thought, you're going to get out of this meeting in proportion to what you put into this meeting. Your input, what you get out or what you receive is going to be in direct proportion or direct as you put in it, that's what you get out. And you know, that's the way it is with life in every way. Now, if you want to have a good marriage, you want to have a happy marriage, you've got to put something into that marriage. Husband and wife both. Now, if the husband's domineering and bossy and wanting everything his way, and he's not willing to be considerate and kind and thoughtful and careful with his companion, there's not going to be much of that marriage for him. You've got to put into something if you're going to get anything out of it. Now, if you're going to go out and mow your grass, you're going to have to do some work if you want to have a satisfaction of getting that yard mowed. Now, I really enjoy getting my yard mowed. As I get older, it's more work and I'm wore out and it's pretty hard. But when I get my yard mowed and I edge it and I trim it and I work hard at it, just one look satisfies me and repays me for all my work. Whatever you get out of something, you must have something to put into it. Jesus said here, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, or what measure you hand out or you give, it will be measured back to you. Now in our meeting here today, dear ones, Lord help us. We've come here from many miles. We've traveled many miles to get here. We've come here. What did you come for? If you come to socialize and have a good time in the physical and eat a lot of good food from the dining hall, if that's what you come for, you're not going to get much out of this meeting in a spiritual sense. You might get some food from the dining hall. You might get some socializing, but that's not the real purpose of this meeting. This meeting is a time for God's Word to be gone forth. That's right. And we must have and be in a condition and put into the meeting, so if we're going to get anything out of the meeting. That's right. This is the way it is. I remember we had a minister's meeting in March, the last part of March. And I remember my wife and I, we fasted, we prayed, we agonized, we sought the Lord, we went to that meeting, we put everything we had in that meeting. That's right, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. And I want to tell you, we got so much out of that meeting, it was wonderful. It was glorious. My soul was so blessed, I went home and some character got in our house while we were gone, broke in our house, and stole a bunch of stuff. And I'll tell you, dear ones, I was so lit up with that meeting, it seemed like that break-in didn't even bother me. It didn't even... we missed some of the things, but that's all a bunch of... nothing compared to what we came home with from that meeting. Praise the Lord. We fasted. We prayed. We sought the Lord. We entered into that meeting with all of our heart. And we got so much out of that meeting, it was wonderful. Same way with our camp meeting at Guthrie. We fasted. We prayed. We gave ourselves to that meeting. We put everything we had into that meeting. Everything we knew what to do to help that meeting. And I'll tell you, we got blessed in that meeting. Whatever you put in, or whatever you want to get out, you've got to put something in. If you don't put anything in, you're not going to get a thing. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Talk about that marriage a little bit. Oh, if you're going to have a happy marriage, you've got to put something into it. Devotion, humility, forbearance, patience, long-suffering. You've got to try. You've got to put prayer. Give your heart to God and yield, and the Lord will reward you for that. God is a God of rewards. You put everything in, you'll get everything out. It just works that way. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, God, help us today. You know, if you go out to mow your grass and you just kind of do a little bit on the edge and here and there and just say, well, I guess that's good enough for now. Well, that's just about all you'll get out of it. And same way with cleaning the house, doing the dishes, everything you put into it, effort, earnestness, fervency, diligence, carefulness, you put your heart into that. You get out of it what you put into it. Now, you know, we have a lot of sports in the world today, and these sportsmen, they put everything in it. I stopped one time, just kind of coming along, and saw a bunch of boys out there playing ball, and I don't have any use for it anymore. I don't care much for ball. I can't hardly run anymore. It doesn't mean anything to me, but I was watching these boys, and I'm going to tell you, I noticed one thing. They was putting everything into that game. Oh, they were at attention. I mean, whenever that batter got up, everybody was on the ball. That's right. They were on guard. They wasn't out there snoring away, sleeping in, leaning in an easy chair. Oh no, they were all got old center fielder out there. He was a watching. He had his eyes open, ready for that ball. If that ball would come to him, well, he's ready to catch it. Oh dear ones, that's the way it is with the work of God, the salvation, the camp meeting. If you're going to get something out of this meeting, you got to put some attention.
You've got to put some real work into that. Fasting and prayer. Got to get down and pray and seek the Lord. Oh, you're going to get out of this meeting just what you put in. If you don't put anything in it, you won't get anything out of it. If you don't take time to fast and pray, if you don't get to bed of a night, if you want to stay up and socialize half the night and then sleep it in of a morning, you ain't going to get much out of this meeting. That's the truth. I know what I'm talking about. But if you'll go ahead and get your rest, and then when that old ding-dong bell sings at 6 o'clock in the morning, you better beat the bell, though, really. You better beat that bell. And be ready and be down here for early morning prayer meeting. Now, I know I got a little static one time for pressing on this early morning prayer meeting business. It's all right. I understood. That was what they was trying to tell me. They said, well, now, you know, some people, they're just not able to be out there, and you make them feel bad and all that. Well, okay, Lord help. But I want to tell you what else I believe. I believe there's a lot of folks could be here if they put something, if they wanted to put something into the meeting. We'd have more. I want to tell you something. I was here for the first time in 1950. And I want to tell you, this tabernacle for early morning prayer meeting, if I remember it right, I don't think I'm wrong, this tabernacle was almost filled for early morning prayer meeting. I remember one morning I was sleeping in my tent, and when they started early morning prayer, I said, where was you? Well, I should have been down here, but I wasn't. See, you know, I know I've made a few mistakes along the way. But you know, all of a sudden I heard that song, and it was a throng. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. I tell you that, it woke me up. Early morning prayer meeting, if you please. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Where is our prayer warriors, dear one? Where is the ones that can leave that old bed and get out here and get yourself ready? Get out here and be ready for the firing line of prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now, if you didn't get the prayer meeting this morning, well, I love you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you get you there tomorrow. But may the Lord help us today. You're going to get out of this meeting what you put in it. Now then, as far as early morning prayer meeting, you can have your own early morning prayer meeting in your cabin with your companion. That would be fine. But you know, there's something wonderful about getting out to early morning prayer meeting and getting in down here with all of the saints. There's something precious about that. I personally, I couldn't feel right in deliberately missing early morning prayer meeting just for the sake of maybe catching a little sleep. I couldn't feel right. When my brothers and sisters are down here praying and seeking the Lord and I'm up there somewhere doing something else. But you know, dear ones, you get out of something what you put into it. Do your very best. Put all into their service of God. You young people can do this. You don't have to be playing all the time. If you play all the time, all play and no work, what does that make? I don't know. It won't make one very good. All work and no play. Well, what do we come to this meeting for anyway? We come to work and play? What does the song say? Work and pray. That's what we come here for. We don't have to come here to play. Oh, I know children like to play. But some, a lot of grown-ups like to play too. May the Lord help us. I tell you, we need to get this play business out of us. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play back in Moses' time. Lord help us today. I'm talking to you this morning. You need to get out of business and put something into this meeting. Are you doing any fasting? Oh, Lord, help us today. Oh, you say, well, I can't hardly fast. I get sick when I do. Sure you do. Your body's so used to being cramped and full of food so much, and then when it gets empty, well, you just feel bad. Of course you do. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us
Why does it teach us about fasting? Why is it mentioned? It's got a purpose. We need to be working on ourselves. Of course, if you're used to 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and then you miss a day or so, you're going to hurt. You're going to suffer. But if you can get your body trained, if you can get your body adjusted and ask the Lord to help you, then you'll be able to fast and lay aside your food and it won't have such a drastic effect. That's so. And it's very good. We live in a society today that people are eating themselves to the grave. There's just so much food and it tastes so good. Fast food's all over the place. And Brahms and Carl's Jr.'s and Taco Bell and all kinds of tickle taco and all kinds of stuff. Hamburgers and all these things. And people are just eating and eating and eating and they're eating themselves to the grave. That's right. That's, I think, a lot of the ills of our society. People are just plump eating too much. Your body doesn't need all that food, dear ones. Now, when young children, they can handle it pretty good. But when you get up 30 and 40 years old, it's time to slow down. It's time to draw back on this eating business. And you need to look to the Lord to help you. Put into the service. Lay aside that food. Lay aside. You don't need all that food. You do need some, yes, we have made to eat. But dear ones, let's put some fasting and praying into this thing. Now, we don't go around and tell people how much we fast and boast on them. The Lord don't want us to do that. But He doesn't want us to exclude it either. He wants us to do some fasting and lay aside your food. You'd be surprised how good you feel after the second day of a fast. You'd be surprised. After the old toxic and everything gets passed off out of your body, and you just stay right in there and keep praying, asking the Lord, you know, you'd be surprised how good you feel. You'll be surprised how keen your mind will be. Your thoughts will just be, they'll just be working just so synchronized, just so working so good. You know what I'm talking about. Lord help us today. Are you putting into the meeting any of these fasting? Lay aside that food. Get down and go. Instead of eating, go pray. Pray for the meeting. Pray for the ministers. Pray for your own soul. Pray the Lord to bless. Spend some time. Don't pray just 5 minutes and get up and quit. No, that's not enough. You've got to pray more than that. 5 minutes prayer is all right, but that's about all you're going to get. Put in some more time in prayer. Get up at night and pray. That's right. Get up in the night. Ask the Lord to wake you up. He knows how to wake you up. He wakes you up and says, it's time to pray. Amen, Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go in there, get alone, and I want to pour out my heart. How old do you have to be before you start being a prayer warrior for God? How old? You boys can be prayer warriors. String of boys right here. You can all be prayer warriors for God. Pray. You don't have to go around and say, well, I spent an hour in prayer last night. You don't tell people this time. But you still, you want to take time to pray. Pray for the meeting. Pray for souls. Pray for your own soul. Whatever measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. This is the way it is. This is the way it works. Life is like this in every way. And a meeting is like this. Oh, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Dear ones, we've got burdens. We've got problems. We've got situations we're faced with in the world. We need to be praying and calling on God in our hearts and minds constantly. Lord, help us today. We're in trouble, dear ones. Our country's in trouble.
Our society is steeped in wickedness and sin. There's confusion everywhere. There's sad and worrisome things we're facing today. Let's pray about them. Good old saying, pray more and talk less. Don't need to talk about it so much. I know you like to talk about it, but you better talk about it to the Lord. Like an old song I said, you can talk about me every once as much as you please, but I'll talk about you down on my knees. Lord, help us today. Whatever measure you meet, it'll come back to you. If you put in to pray and seek the Lord and carry a burden for the meeting, dear ones, it'll come back. God will reward. I know it to be so. I've seen it. Put special effort. There's work to be done. There's things to be accomplished. Be willing. Be willing, ready to do whatever the Lord wants you to do, whatever your hand finds to do. Do we want to have a good meeting here? Do you want to be blessed? I tell you, we went to our ministers' meeting in March. I mentioned it a while ago, but I have never got over it yet. I got one of the most wonderful revelations from the Scriptures in that meeting that just like a mushroom, it just keeps boiling up in my mind. I can't get over it. I think about it nearly every day since then. What I got out of that meeting. But I put everything in it. And then I know some people never even showed up. And I know God was there in that meeting. And the same way with our camp meeting. I remember that. I tell you, dear one. We put everything in it. We worked. We did everything we knew to do. We prayed. We fasted. And my wife, bless her heart, she worked so hard. She spent the last 2 days, it got her sick. She got down in the bed. It just was too much for her. The Lord's had mercy and brought her out. But dear ones, are we willing to give all? Just give everything to the Lord. You know, your life, your Christian life is that way. If you want to have a happy Christian life, give all to Jesus. Consecrate everything to Him. Don't hold back. Don't be dilatory and careless and disobedient to the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, obey it. Everything. Seek the Lord. Pray. I was told when I was a young Christian starting out that you got to pray a lot. I was told that. Saints lived this thing before me. So when I knew when I got saved, I want to really be a prayer warrior. I want to pray and pray and pray. And go out in the woods and pray. And we had a prayer meeting at Guthrie that first year after I got saved. On Tuesday, we meet on Tuesday at the chapel. I and a bunch of older sisters. Wasn't very many brethren. See, Mike showed up. Everybody else is out working, I guess. Of course, they have to work. But we had wonderful prayer meetings there. We had glorious time. We spent there from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock. Every Tuesday. Oh, we got tired. Yeah, sure, we got tired. I got tired one day and went to sleep on my knees while we were praying. Went sound asleep. Pretty soon I heard Sister Meek say, "Brother Leslie must have gone to sleep." Oh, I was kind of embarrassed. But they did. They were nice. They were kind. They understood. Dear ones, we got to keep on. Pray much. Seek the Lord. Seek after Him. Take time to be holy. It takes effort. Whatever measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. May the Lord help us. Now I want to bring out some things. We have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the parable about the sower and the seed. And I want you to notice some things about this. I'm not going to ask you to just refer directly to it, but I have in my Bible here, I've kind of got it lined out, if I can get a hold of it. I thought I had a hold of it, but let's see here. Anyway, well, we may have to. The three different things that are recorded about the parable of the sower and the seed. Well, here it is. What I want to do, I want to read this. I put them all three together. Because one, Matthew maybe will say something that the other two didn't say. So I put them all three together. Now then, why do we have this? We have the setting of this 4th chapter of Mark and 13th chapter of Matthew and the 8th chapter of Luke. We have this setting of the parable of the sower and the seed. And the seed was the Word of God, and the sower was the Son of Man. Now then, the Word of God is like a seed. You know, dear ones, when you're going to plant a garden, how many of you like to plant gardens? When you plant a garden, you don't just scatter a little bit of seed. If 2 Corinthians says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So in a planting of seed, you want to plant the seed in abundance. And this, he's using this alike to the Word of God coming to you and to me. Whether in a camp meeting or in family worship or wherever the Word of God comes. Whether you sit and read it or you hear somebody else read it, the Word of God is a seed. Now then, Jesus brought out some things that will hinder the seed from taking root and having its effect. Okay? Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. You ought to take it sometime and read all of them and see how the different writers. Now, there were four different conditions. The wayside, the stony ground, and the thorns, the thistles, and then the good ground. Four different things. Are you listening to me? Get your mind off of everything else and think. You know, it helps you if you bring a Bible to service and read along right along with the preacher. Did you know it helped you do that? I started doing that when I got saved. I got me a Bible. Oh, yes. I bought me a Bible from the print shop. And I wore that Bible out. You need to do that. Now listen, we're talking about something that's wonderful here. They're talking about something that'll bring you dividends. Listen, the first was the wayside. He said, some seed fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air ate it up. That was the literal part of the parable. Then he applies that. Now listen, he that is by the wayside is he that heareth the word. Now notice, each one of these heard the word. You got two ears. You hear it. They hear the word, but they don't understand it. And Satan comes and immediately, you see, you've got something going on while the word goes forth. And you've got the devil. He is right there to hinder and keep that word from taking root in your heart. Did you know that? It's the truth. Satan don't want you to let the word of God come into your heart and mind. So he's got all kinds of tricks and contrivances to keep the word of God from taking root in your heart and your mind. God's word is precious. You know, dear ones, the older I get, the more precious the Word of God is. It is opening up to me more than ever in all my 46 years in living for the Lord. It is opening up. It's precious. The Word of God is precious. But the devil
is succeeding in getting many people to not allow the Word of God to penetrate their hearts and minds, and therefore He's right there when you hear the Word and you don't understand it. Did you ever have that kind of feeling?
I didn't get a thing out of that man's message. I couldn't understand a thing he said.
Now, whose fault is it that he didn't? Now, may the Lord help us today here. Well, this is serious business. Listening to the Word of God is the most serious thing you'll ever do in all your life. Did you know that? It is. Satan comes, you hear it, you don't understand it, and it doesn't mean anything to you, it doesn't impress you, you just hear it, then the devil comes, and he's got a way of erasing that from your memory. He comes and he takes away the word sown in the heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Now that's what all three of these, and the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's the sum of it. The devil, Satan, he's working to keep you from getting the message. We're going to have a bunch of messages in this meeting. That's the main attraction, is the giving of the Word of God. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to get some good? Are you going to get some light and counsel and understanding? Are you get some spiritual edification and some help and blessing to your soul? Do you want that? Well, then let's put something into it. Attention, carefulness. Well, I know, but I get so sleepy. I do, too. I get so sleepy sometimes I could just fall off the chair. We're all human. But you know, if we'll seek the Lord, say, Lord, now help me. Help me, dear Jesus, that I won't be sleepy. You know, put something in. You got to put some more prayer. Ah, dear ones, if you're going to get something out of the meeting, you got to put something in it. Now that's many people. I don't know the percentage-wise of people that's like those, by the way. So I don't know how much that would be, but I would say it ranks pretty high. Most people are so carnal-minded, so selfish-minded, so money-minded, so fleshly-minded, so pleasure, fun, play-minded, that the Word of God has very little appeal to them. May the Lord help us today. When are we going to grow up? When are we going to get wise to what the devil's doing to us? Now then, we have another situation which is called the stony ground. Stony ground didn't have a very much depth of earth. It was just a little bit of earth. And when the seed was sown on a stony ground, it came up right away. It was real quick to come up, but it didn't last. It withered away. And Jesus, here's what he says about that. This is about people now. Are you going to be on this stony ground with no depth, with no earnestness, with no decision? Listen. Those on the stony ground are those who hear it, receive it with joy and gladness. Ah! Oh, I'm so glad to hear this. This is just what I've been wanting. This is what I've been needing. But has no root in himself. Ah, we've seen this a lot of times. And for a while they believe. But when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended and falls away. They start out, I've seen some people start out for the Lord like a house of fire. Like they're going to take the world in. They just really, oh my, they're just so happy and they just want to testify all the time. And I knew a man was in a meeting one time, and he went to the altar and got saved that night, and he had to go around and shake hands with all the sisters
and kiss and shake hands with all the brethren, all the whole house. Oh, we were all so melted. We were all so blessed. He was just so happy to be saved.
You want to hear the rest of the story? Lord have mercy. Poor man died lost. He didn't stay with it. He didn't have much debt. Now you say, well, now how can we get some debt? I'll tell you, dear ones, there's a lot of old stones that need to be thrown out. There's a lot of things that you need to work on yourself. You know, this thing of going to heaven and being saved is a serious matter. It's worthy of all your devotion and all your effort and all your seeking and earnestness. It's, you know, I think like this. If I give my heart to the Lord and I live for God and I'm faithful through the years and I make it to heaven, it'll be worth all the effort I put into that. It'll be worth all the effort, all the fasting and praying and all the seeking, everything. It'll be worth it if I make it in. That's what it's going to take. You're going to have to give it all. Give it your all. Then we have those under thorns. Some ground was sowed and the seed and the thorns sprung up and choked. And Jesus said, these are they that hear the word and the are choked by the care of this world and the pleasures of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Did you know that that's true with a lot of people? The lusts of other things. Cares and riches and pleasures of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, it just seems like it has a tendency to choke the word. It gets you so, you're so, one man told me, he says, I want to live for the Lord, but it just seems like the cares of this life, they'll choke it out. What are you going to do about it? I have to let some things go. Don't want so much. People just get so, the more they want, the more they get, the more miserable they are. You don't have to have all these things. Hey, have you got a computer yet? No computer, what's the matter with you? Oh, they think you have to get everything that comes along. You don't need all this stuff. Oh, if you could use a computer, go ahead and get one. But I want to tell you, dear ones, where are you going to stop? Where are you going to be satisfied? Lord, help us today. The cares of this world and pleasures of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It has a tendency to absorb your mind and your thoughts, and you're not able to concentrate. You're not able to apply yourself. You've got too much hanging off. He becometh unfruitful. But then there are those on the good ground. And Lord, help us. Do you want to be like those on the good ground? Yeah. Who hear the word and in an honest and good heart hear the word, understand it, receive it, and brings forth fruit. Keeps it, another one of them says, keeps it. Brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And also one of them says, brings forth fruit with patience. Oh, you got to have patience in this thing. Did you know, dear ones, you've got to just keep at this thing. No matter what, you'll get weary. The devil will fight you. You'll be discouraged. But you don't ever give up. You just keep right on holding on. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep saying. Keep going to service. Keep going to camp meeting. Keep applying yourself. Keep praying all the time. Seek after the Lord. Keep on. Don't ever stop. Don't ever
get tired. After a while, you're going to reap if you faint not. May the Lord help us today.
What are you going to get out of this meeting? You're going to get out of it what you put into it. That's what you're going to get. Are you going to put more? Do you? I would that we could just see everybody to say, you do it to God, don't do it to me. I'm going to put more into this meeting. I'm going to let some things go. I'm going to do some fasting. I'm not going to eat so much. I'm going to pray more. I want to be at that early morning prayer meeting if at all possible. If I have to get up a half hour earlier, that's just a little while. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray more. I want to get more out of this meeting. And when I go, I want to go with a prayer. Lord, help me as I sing. Oh, my head's a singing. Now listen, when you sing, you don't just half-heartedly sing, you know. You've got to sing with your whole heart. You've got to open up. I wonder how we could do if you sing as loud as the leader. You want to try it? Open your mouth. Sing from down in here. Don't just sing from right here. Sing from down inside. Praise the Lord. Sing. You enter into a service and you sing in the Spirit and you pray. And when you get down to pray, what are you doing there? Are we all uniting in prayer? Amen. Yes, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Join right in. Pray. You've got to do it. Get anywhere. If you have a song service that's not anointed and a prayer service not anointed, what kind of message are you going to have? You got two strikes against you. You know what? What are we going to do? Are we going to get in there and work hard at this? Are you going to pray? Are you going to be there in that service? Well, whatever measure you meet or you give out, that's what you're going to get back. You'll get just what you put in. May the Lord help you.